All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Because it's another Brilliant Ideas radio show, and I am Brilliant Ideas. That's what they call me, and welcome to another Saturday morning of food, fun, and friends, and music, and whatever else happens on this crazy show. And I'm going to start off the show the right way this time. I never do this till later, but I want to make sure everyone knows who our guests are for today. Our first guest today will be Chef Dominique Maquette-Riquette. I probably said his name wrong, but Dominique, he's known as, I guess what I've been told, is America's most awarded chef. And he's going to be joining us from New Orleans, and he's got a new cookbook. And this guy is, well, he's just done just about everything. He's got more awards than you can shake a stick at. And we'll talk about his new cookbook called Tropical Latitudes. Then our second guest is from Houston, Texas, and they were voted number one bakery in Houston. It's the Three Brothers Bakery, and we have Bobby joining us from Three Brothers Bakery, and they're going to be talking about, well, he will be talking about cakes and pies and cupcakes and everything that I like to talk about. And then third, our musical guest is Susie the Wedding Fiddler, and I guess you guys can figure out what she does. She plays the fiddle. And she'll be joining us, and she does more than just does weddings, too. She's been performing at NASCAR, and I think she's actually been on a reality show, so we'll be talking to her. So that's our lineup for today, and of course, our regulars. You know, we can't do this show without them, and then, you know, there's this girl, her name is Laurie. I got a new tune for her. This is Laurie's new intro. So welcome to the show, Laurie, the food news crazy style girl. It just suits you, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I walk around singing, I never have to be a hobby, me. Well, you know what? And the good thing is my middle name is Jean. So there you go.
I know.
And I'm a Jean. It fits me.
And you're supposed to call me Master.
Of course. Yes, Master.
Oh, well. I don't know where our sidekick is. Brian's hiding somewhere. He's supposed to be joining us. I know it's his dad's birthday, his 90th birthday, and I think he's where's
Isn't
he in New
that
York?
Fantastic. He's in New York. Isn't that amazing? Happy birthday to his dad.
Yes, definitely. Happy birthday. 90 years old or 90 years young.
Well,
you'd
think
but
it was
I don't know.
Brian's birthday because he did treat himself to a present, he was just telling us, so. We'll have to talk about that for a moment.
I'm not sure we're supposed to tell what it is. For some reason, he's trying to keep it secret. I don't know what the secret is, but okay. What's the big secret? I don't get it. So for all you guys, are listening, he told us what he bought for himself, but we're not supposed to tell anybody, so.
No, because he wants to do it. He wants to have the privilege. What the heck?
Oh, well. I just told him to make sure he keeps an eye where he puts his hand. That's the only hint I can give. Okay, well, he's not showing up, and I had a great intro music for him, but I don't know where he is. Didn't he say he was calling in?
Yeah, but he's late. He's never late.
I know.
But he is doing the cooking, so maybe something, you know, maybe he's got something going in the oven and he can't leave it for the moment.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, since you are the Food News Jersey style girl, and we don't have Brian to pick on at the moment, I know you've been dying to tell the story for the last couple of weeks about the pretzels.
Yes. Yes.
We talked about the pretzels, though, gosh, I guess 2 or 3 weeks ago, and why they're shaped the way they are. So, without further ado, I can't wait for the pretzel story. Go ahead, Laurie.
Oh, I'm sure you can. You'll be snoring in the middle of it. Okay. But I like it, and I think people will be interested. It's a good little story. A common origin story of pretzels is that they were created by a monk around 610 in Italy. And this is according to the History of Science and Technology. The monk had baked strips of dough that he folded into a shape resembling a child crossing its arms in prayer. And then he would give them as treats, which he called, I like that name, little rewards, to the children who memorized their prayers. And unfortunately, surprisingly, there is no documented evidence from the 600s to confirm this story.
So basically, we don't know if this story you're telling is true.
No, but in prayer, they used in 1440 a picture they found of Saint Bartholomew. He was surrounded by pretzels, and by this time, the pretzels were considered a sign of good luck and spiritual wholeness, possibly due to the three holes in the common pretzel that's shaped to represent the Holy Trinity. I think this is a nice little story, though. I never looked at them religiously till now. And
well, no, I never have. And now that I know that it may not be a true story, it is a nice story, but I can make up stuff, too. I could say it was made that way because somebody had a bad night and was drunk. I mean, how do we know the story is true?
No, because they're saying that in a prayer book they found in 1440, they saw things like this. So.
But I thought pretzels were German.
Well, I'm not done with the story yet.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. The good luck connotation carried the pretzel to other holidays, including New Year's Day, when in Germany, the children would hang pretzels around their necks. They would hang pretzels on the Christmas trees in Austria in the 16th century, and parents would hide the little pretzels on Easter for children, a similar version of hiding the Easter egg. Now, this is funny. In Switzerland, the pretzel shape was used as a marriage knot, and couples would each pull on a side of the pretzel for their wedding day, and the larger half would bring prosperity to that marriage, kind of like the wishbone.
Cool.
See, a lot more things going on with pretzels than we thought. Now, here we go. Pretzels have been long integrated into the Christian faith, and by the 16th century, it became the tradition that pretzels were eaten on Good Friday in Germany, and the Catholics once considered them as the official food of Lent. And you know what? I'm Catholic, and I have never heard that you eat pretzels for lunch. Never.
I don't know. I'm thinking that
have
maybe
you?
Somebody,
I mean,
like, somebody like Snyder's or Hers or somebody wrote this article. Who's this written by?
I told you, science and something technology, remember? When I first introduced
yeah.
the article. Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
But it sounds like, I think they were funded by the pretzel people.
Another story says that the pretzels were developed as food for Lent. Whether this is true or not, pretzels did become a very popular staple during the holidays, and it was easier to make them. It was easier to make and fulfill the church's guidelines. Okay, here we go with the Pennsylvania Dutch now. Pretzels made their way across the Atlantic with the German immigrants, who later became known as the Pennsylvania Dutch in the 1700s. So, many pretzel bakeries popped up in Pennsylvania around that time, and Pennsylvania has continued to be the seat of American pretzel. In fact, pretzels that are made in America are made in Pennsylvania.
No,
I did not know that either.
No.
Nope.
Wow.
And while it's estimated that Americans eat 2 pounds of pretzels a year, pretzel consumption in Philadelphia is estimated to be around 12 pounds of pretzels per person per year.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Very interesting.
Nice statistics. Yep. I can. There's a little bit more if you'd like me to continue.
Well, I'll just go right ahead because I am just on the edge of my seat on this pretzel story.
Their popularity spread rapidly, and the hard pretzels are now one of the best-selling salty snacks in America, which is sandwiched between our favorite potato chips and then popcorn. Soft pretzels continue to be a popular snack item as well with the pushcart pretzel vendors, prevalent in Philly and New York. And the pushcarts follow a long tradition of the pretzel street vendors. It is also believed that they first started appearing, I can't believe this, in the mid-1400s. Vendors. It is believed they first started in the mid-1400s.
Very interesting. I love those soft pretzels with mustard. There's nothing like it.
I do, too. You know what? I agree. And then just it ends with, today pretzels are most popular in America and in Germany, where they are featured at Oktoberfest. I didn't know that either. In America, besides the covered in salt, hard pretzels commonly come dipped in chocolate and yogurt, while the soft pretzels are served with mustard and cheese. I like that too, cheese. There are different flavors available all over the world that feature nuts, seeds, and glazes. And we've come a long way from the simple dough pretzels that were commonly served for religious purposes so many years ago.
Well, well, well. That story certainly has twists. Okay. Well, no Brian. I don't know where he is.
I can't believe it. And I was looking for this next story.
I know. The next story I wanted you to tell was about the wine. And, you
the
know,
Beaujolais.
No, he's supposed to be the wine czar. I wonder if we should take a break. I will take a break. You know what? I'll take a little brief break here and give him a few more minutes because he needs to be around for this story. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know where he is. That's weird. Maybe he lost
his number.
You know
what's funny? I texted him, so he always answers. He didn't text me back, so.
Oh. Oh, well. You know what? The show must go on without the clown. All right, hang on a second.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
It is the ultimate cooking experience. Go to www.biggreenegg.com and find a dealer near you. Just punch in your zip code, and they're all around now, folks. You can find them just about anywhere. I have not been using my Big Green Egg because I'm a big baby when it comes to going outside in the cold.
You know, you're used to that perfect California weather, and welcome to the East Coast now.
It's weird. It's affected me different this year. Last year, it was cold, but for some reason this year, because I was grilling last year. Of course, it is chillier in November this year than it was last year, but what's wrong with me? I think my blood was thinned out in California, so I don't know. Anyway, I guess we're going to be doing a turkey and a ham on the Big Green Egg on
mm-hmm.
Thursday
for
Thanksgiving. That's the plan, if it's warm enough for me. But get yourself a biggreenegg.com. There is no Brian. I don't believe this. Oh, well.
Yeah, well.
I had a whole bunch of other funny things lined up for him, too. I guess they're singing happy birthday
sure
to his father. Well, you want to go ahead and start telling the story?
I will. Okay. It's a little snippet about the Beaujolais Nouveau. I will not be the wine czar. I'm not going to talk about all the fancy grapes and the Gamay and all this. I'm just going to tell
the
little story.
By the way, I'm very glad that you're not because that stuff bores the heck out of me.
I know it does. I know. But I thought, what we want to do is just tell the story. If you tell the story, it's more interesting as opposed to, you know, start naming grapes. I mean, for some people, they're going to like that, but me, no. The madness starts at 1 minute past midnight on the third Thursday of November when Beaujolais Nouveau is officially released. The marketing people, the PR people who thought of this, were geniuses.
Yes,
more than half of the 60 million bottles of this French red wine leave their native villages in southern Burgundy to begin the journey by plane, ship, by train, truck, motorcycle, I don't think the one you posted today, elephant, rickshaw, and foot to wine lovers around the world. Only weeks before, this hot-off-the-press wine were still grapes clustered on local vines, but the Beaujolais vintners worked feverishly fast to harvest, ferment, and bottle the juice so it's ready for the midnight hour. This part's coming up at the This cracks me up. The worldwide release of Beaujolais Nouveau is an extraordinary coordination and marketing. Because of different time zones, the Nouveau is jetted to each country just a few days before its official release at local time. But since most liquor stores around the world are closed at 1 minute after midnight, most of us have to wait at least until the next morning to sample the new harvest. In fact, one Beaujolais vintner recommends drinking his wine the day after bottling it with breakfast. The Parisians, of course, get to drink it the moment it's released. French merchants who sell Nouveau before its official release are fined $250 per bottle. Outside of France, most retailers simply sign an agreement not to do so. They're not allowed to even taste it. They have to sign an agreement.
That's so weird.
Can you imagine?
I've never had it, nor do what you guys talk about. You say it's not that good anyway, but
I don't like it at all. The bottles are pretty, and that's it. I do not like
it. But you say it's like syrupy and kind of like tastes like very sweet and fruity.
Syrupy? No. I'll tell you, I haven't had it in years. But from what I remember, it's sweet, and I don't like it. It's not. I remember being syrupy, like a sauterne or something. Like a no, it's not dessert, not at all.
Oh, all right. And it's made with new grapes, I guess, is what they use, like the.
The first grapes. Yeah, I think that's like first the first grapes. Comes off. But you know, you're don't start asking me technical things.
No,
I know.
All right, go ahead.
Beaujolais is nestled in the rolling hills of southern Burgundy, some 90 million liters produced annually. And
that's
drinking
amazing.
Nouveau.
90 million liters of this
liters
stuff? And I've never had a drip.
Annually.
Wow.
I'm surprised. You see, no one's ever brought like the bottles are always like kind of, it's like squiggly and they're bright, like fuchsia.
Well, I've seen
and,
them.
You know, they're
I've seen
they're
the bottles,
colors,
but
yeah.
I've never really been interested in that wine. Of course, you know, above $1.99, you know, then you're pushing it with me. But how is it expensive?
No, I don't remember it being expensive at all. No. Drinking Nouveau started here as an event to celebrate the end of the harvest. The marketing makeover from quaint local custom to a fashionable global drink has boosted the wine's popularity. Not to mention its cash flow, since winemakers can get an immediate return for the harvest rather than having to wait until the wine matures.
I don't get it, though. So explain something to me. Probably we need the wine czar for this, but he'll be too boring anyway. But, the whole thing about wine is you keep it in a barrel for a period of time, I think like 1.5, 2 years in a barrel. So this stuff, does it even have time to ferment? I don't get it. Is it like grape juice? What is it?
It's
like Welch's?
Honestly? Excuse me?
Is it like Welch's grape juice? I mean, really?
No. I think it's just, like I said, everybody's different, and I hate to say it, but to me, you can pay me, I won't drink it. Honestly, it's
that
not
bad, huh?
I won't. I think so. Yes. But that's like I said, but hey, look how popular it is. And people wait, you know, they have to sign agreements not to taste it. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Enough of that story, I guess. I don't know where.
I'm going to have a fun story next.
You're going to have what?
I hope everything's okay with Brian and his family.
We talked to him just like 5-10 minutes before this show, and he said, I'll be right there. So I don't know what happened.
I know.
Anyway,
I do have a fun article about peanut butter.
Peanut butter, that's right. Oh, my gosh, we got to talk about that.
It's actually kind of long, but I can start it. I can always finish it.
Well, no, we got plenty of time. Our first guest shouldn't be here for another 5 minutes or so. So, by the way, let me set this up. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't know. They all blend together, but we had a lady on.
A couple weeks ago, I think, when that one woman said that, you know,
one of those kind of people.
She was fantastic,
that I don't use
but she was great. She was great.
Yes, no, she was. She was actually great. And that's awful. I'm trying to remember her name, but I can't remember her name off the top of my head because I'm stupid this morning. didn't have enough coffee. But anyway, she talked about peanut butter and how it's not good for you. And, you know, that's what gets me. I mean, 1 minute peanut butter is good for you, and I know everything is good for
changes.
You based on how much you take it in a certain amount. But you
so
found the story.
Because I was surprised because to me I always heard that peanut butter, you know, not like I said, you don't want to sit and eat a whole thing of it, but to me peanut butter was always very good for you.
Right.
A little bit of it, you know, but everything to me, you know, is okay. And that's what she did say that. She did cover herself with that. Okay, 2 tablespoons, this is facts about peanut butter, spoons of peanut butter are what you should consume if you want to stay on a healthy end of the peanut butter consumption scale. Two tablespoons.
I put that much on one cracker.
I know you do. Oh, I know you're always heaping. Yep. Okay, 2 tablespoons are packed in 7 grams of protein. And this is why peanut butter on toast makes for a very good breakfast or a mid-morning choice.
There you go.
So I thought it was good for protein. Okay. As a protein-rich food, when you eat peanut butter, you feel fuller longer. So additionally, the protein is also good for building and repairing muscles, which is especially important if you work out a lot. Someone who clearly loves your peanut butter, brilliant, they asked the Harvard Medical School if the health benefits of peanut butter extended to health, heart health. And despite your misgivings, the answer is yes. Peanut butter has its share of saturated food, but like olive oil, it's also a high percentage of unsaturated, helping it qualify as healthy. So when you consume in moderation, eating a high-quality peanut butter like this can actually improve your heart health, especially when compared to those who sell...
There you go. See? Her name was Susan Irby, by the way, and she was the certified food healer. She has a book called
mm-hmm.
Substitute Yourself Skinny. I found my note. Anyway, but she was beating me up because of the peanut butter I was having that morning. So there you go. Ha. of course, I eat half a jar.
Yeah, exactly. You have to. But as far as potassium, most of us have way too much sodium in our diets. And as you probably already know, sodium can wreak havoc on your cardiovascular system. So peanut butter acts as an excellent source of potassium. And the potassium can go a long way towards countering the dangers of the sodium. I knew peanut butter had potassium in it, too. But I didn't want to make, you know,
so
I wanted to make sure.
So does bananas, and that's what I had. Remember, I had bananas and peanut butter and bacon toast?
And
when she said that, no,
I suggest. Oh, you made those chicken fries last night with the strips of bacon on it? Oh!
Yes, ma'am. Anything with bacon is good. I don't care what it is. It's peanut butter and jelly.
You threw it under the boiler and you crunched it. Oh, it was like heaven.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Chicken thighs with bacon. Heck, you can have anything with bacon and it's good. All right, I'm going to take a break. No Brian. And our first guest hopefully will be joining us. I hope the phones are working. Maybe there's a problem with the phones. I never even thought about
that. No, he texts. Well, I don't know.
Anyway, our first guest will be joining us. His name is Chef Dominique Maquette, probably destroying his name. And as I mentioned in the intro, he is America's most awarded chef, and he's in New Orleans, has a new cookbook. And we'll be taking a break, and hopefully he'll be calling in if this thing is working. And I found a song that goes back to your pretzel story that's
mm-hmm.
appropriate. It's called All Tangled Up by the Coyote Kings, and we'll be right back.
Quench your thirst, won't make you wait.
all tangled up. And guess what, Laurie? Guess who I found?
Brian, I hope.
Yes, and let me tell you, I don't know what he was doing, but here's his tune.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a one-boy, cuddly toy, my up, my down, my pride and joy. People...
Yes, he's my up, my down, my cuddly toy. Hello, Brian.
Well, you know, as that song said, I got all tangled up with a lot of things, and the czar can't be in a million places at once. I'm sorry,
see, I
guys.
Said that.
Yeah,
hi, welcome. Happy birthday to your dad.
Yeah, and I appreciate that best friend sentiment, Grill. Even though I know there's no way in hell that she could possibly mean that.
Hey, I got the I Dream a Genie song.
Yeah, that's
Wait,
right.
It
just seemed appropriate. You know, people, let me tell you about
yeah.
my best friend.
Yeah.
We get a
can
lot,
you tell
but we are
been drinking?
So tell us about the 90-year-old birthday party.
You know what? My dad's amazing. I hope he lives to 190. And, you know, we just had a little private toast, which actually kind of caught me away from... calling in. I said, give me another 100 years so I can finally get to know you. No, my dad, you would never believe that he's 90 years old. So.
Cool. Don't you want to put him on the radio and say hello so we can wish him happy birthday?
And let him anywhere near you? Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on. You're a party pooper, for God's sake. You should put him on the phone.
You would wrap him up in bacon and throw him on the big green egg. Because he's got my last name. Or his last name. No, he's busy with his family. So.
All right. Well, tell him we said happy birthday. And like you said, another 90 more. That would be great. Well,
you got to tell us about the Beaujolais Nouveau.
I'm sorry?
Well, you missed the story, Brian. She's had a whole story about Beaujolais. How do you say it?
Beaujolais Nouveau. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Oh, I sent you guys something.
Yeah, but
we took out an email with a video.
We took out all the boring parts. And
yeah.
We talked about the good parts. See, you like to talk about the grapes and the region and the type of dirt that they grow in and the type of weather and how the wind blows. And, you know, Laurie took that story and she found all the interesting parts of it. And I have to tell you that I heard through the grapevine this past week.
Wait, was that a pun?
Yeah, actually, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, it was a point. I heard through the grapevine this week that you think that our show is not serious enough. Is that true?
Well, I think we just need to be more serious. That's all.
Why not?
No,
I mean,
Johnny Carson
wasn't
serious, and look how successful he was.
It'll give you some credibility and elevate you to my level.
Oh, geez. I don't want to be at your level, believe me. But I'm going to tell you, just going to give you a heads up. Next week, I'm going to let you have 5 minutes of serious time because I don't want you to be upset because we have too much fun on the show. So next week, we're going to have a special for you, and it will be Brian time. That will be your time. You'll have 5 minutes of serious time so that you feel like, you know, we're giving something to society. So that'll be your cue next week.
And you know what I'm going to do? And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be completely unserious just to piss you off.
Well, no, actually, that's what I like. Oh, well. you know, if people weren't serious,
can I interrupt for a second? I need Brian to describe Beaujolais Nouveau because I like I said, I haven't had it in years. And I,
do we have to?
What's your take on
Well, okay, all right. So are we going to be serious now? If Brilliant hadn't interrupted me last week, I would have described Beaujolais. I was in the middle of describing Beaujolais. Mikey just interrupted me again.
See?
Go ahead.
No, give him his
Go
time.
Ahead.
Go ahead. Because I'm curious. I want your take on it.
Well, like I said last week, it's the new wine. It's the youngest wine. It's barely weeks old, you know, after fermentation, and it's got this real kind of bubblegum-like, banana peel-like taste to it. It's become a fad. You know, the French celebrate the first, you know, the first wine of the year, and it became a big fad here, which is now kind of tapering off because you're seeing less and less of it stacked in the grocery stores and the wine shops and wherever. I don't necessarily think restaurants get into the whole Beaujolais thing because, I mean, unless you're going to a restaurant for turkey dinner for Thanksgiving, they're not pouring Beaujolais by the glass and serving it in the restaurant because it's just, you know, it doesn't hold up to a lot. It certainly doesn't keep.
Yeah.
You know, conversely, though,
I mean, you wouldn't describe it as a sauterne, right? I mean, you wouldn't say it's like it's a dessert wine that's sweet, right?
No, it's not sweet at all.
Right.
It's barely fermented. It's, you know, I kind of call it green in a way because it's barely fermented. It's had no time to mature.
I told you, Laurie. See?
I think it's blah.
What did you tell
him?
What did you see? Now I have to listen to the show, and you're going to make me listen to the show, you know, because you're not going to tell me what you told Lori, obviously.
I'm not going to tell you. Okay, we got a guest waiting. Are you done with serious time?
Hey, I didn't start it. Lori asked me.
It's true.
All right, let's get the show back where it needs to go. All right, we're ready. Now we're bringing on our first guest. Our first guest is Chef Dominique McFett, and I think I'm saying his name correctly. And as I said several times before at the beginning of the show, he's America's most awarded chef. He's in New Orleans, and if everything is working on the phones right, we should have Chef Dominique joining us. Good, I guess it's afternoon, or maybe it's still morning over there to the chef. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. It's morning still.
Oh, good. Well, welcome to the show. And sorry to have you waiting on hold, but we had to get in all of our serious time with Brian, and I wanted to have you on the show and appreciate you joining us. And I have to be honest, I was not really familiar, of course, and don't take this wrong either, because I'm not really – I do a food show, but I really don't pay attention. But I really wasn't familiar with who you were until I did some reading about you today online. And, my God, you got, like, awards that are, like, what, 8 or 10 foot long? Congratulations, first of all.
It's just, you know, I enjoy what I do. And I've been in New Orleans since 95. If you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life.
That's the truth.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you are in New Orleans, and you have been for quite a while, and you have a restaurant there. Is it two restaurants in New Orleans?
Yeah, I am actually relocating to a new restaurant in a different location. So I'll be there, you know, in the spring we'll open.
Okay. And what are these restaurants called?
Dominique's.
That's a good name. And what type of food do you serve in your restaurant?
I do a lot of local ingredients, so I use everything from farmers market, and I'm classically trained, so I use my French technique and to use all local ingredients, whatever we can have in whatever is in season in New Orleans and within the 100 miles area, that's going back to Mississippi and you know, a little bit further, Baton Rouge and Lafayette, and just mostly farmers market.
Well, I'm going to read this to the people who are listening who may not be familiar with you. Just some of the awards that you have. You have Restaurant of the Year 2013, New Orleans Magazine, Best New Restaurant 2013, Gambit, James Beard Foundation Honoree 96, 97, 99, and 02, Chef of the Year, New Orleans Magazine, 1997, 20 Best New Restaurants, John Marion Esquire, 4 stars, New Orleans City Business, and it just goes on and on and on. Congratulations.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
So your background, you're actually from an island, and I'm going to probably mess up the name. Is it Mauritius? Is that how you say it?
It's Mauritius. It's on the coast of South Africa and Madagascar. And I lived in, I did my training in South Africa in 83 till 89.
Okay. And, I mean, you've actually, you were the chef, you were actually chef and had food, I guess you prepared food on the Queen Elizabeth II, the ocean liner. You've made food at the White House.
Yes.
You've been around quite a bit and done a lot of interesting things. What's one of your favorite stories as a chef? I always like to hear, is you got like a funny story about a chef, as being a chef?
I don't have a funny story, but I have my favorite, my most moving moment as a chef cooking for was in the turn of the century what I cooked for Nelson Mandela. First
really?
Meal after was
wow.
released Robben Island in 1989. I was one of the chefs preparing his first meal during that apartheid, the end of the apartheid regime of South Africa.
That is really cool. Now, you have a new cookbook that you come out with. It's called Tropical Latitudes.
Yes,
and,
it's the book is about all the tropics. I mean, from Southeast Asia to Mauritius to the Caribbean, and a lot of those recipes was when I grew up eating on the island of Mauritius. My mom is who is the one who inspired me with all the, you know, the flavors, and I used a lot of her recipe, and I did it in a way that you could find those ingredients within the United States.
Now, I know Brian, our wine czar, is big on tropical food. Did you have any questions you want to ask the chef, Brian?
Well, I was just going to ask it, if you use those tropical influences to create dishes in your restaurant in New Orleans using, you know, the classic local ingredients that you have at your disposal.
Yes, we use a lot of, New Orleans is like an island on its own. You have a lot of different tropical suma, which is a citrus, which you call clementine in California. And you also, I use a lot of hard palm. I use a lot of conch, you know, just, and also spiny lobsters. It's a great, it's accessible. You can have any.
We're having a little problem with your telephone.
Yes, I was going to say.
I think we lost you there. Are you on a speakerphone or a cell phone? I think we
I'm on a cell phone. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, that's much,
much
better.
There we go.
Yeah, the magic.
There, we go.
There you go. So we lost you there. We're talking about the local ingredients in New Orleans.
What I was going to say was that New Orleans, I mean, I've been there many times, and I love the cuisine, and I love the fact that there's so many different cultures intertwined. So it's a great place to do this kind of thing and just, you know, bring in another culture and use everything that's fresh and local and kind of indigenous to, you know, to New Orleans itself.
Sure. It's like you in New Orleans, you have the gumbo. And they have a style of gumbo in Mauritius as well. I mean, we have a very similar background. We have a Creole coming from Africa. We have Indians coming from India. So our culture in New Orleans, I mean, in Mauritius,
is it's like a melting pot. We have the European, the Creole, the Indians, and the Chinese. And in New Orleans, we have the Spanish, we have the Creole, and we have a Cajun. And it's very it's got a lot of different similarities in the food.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, if people want to find your book, it's called Tropical Latitudes, can they find that on Amazon and also on your website?
Yeah, they can go to my Facebook page. It's Chef Dominique. And I wanted to offer them throughout the holidays 50% of the the cost of the book, and they can just send me a message, and I will ship it to them.
All right. Well, thank you. There you go. If you want to get his cookbook, it's called Tropical Latitudes. You can find it on Facebook. Just send him a message. He's going to get 50% off discount on the cookbook. And we've got a caller, I think, calling in actually from your area. Well, nope, they just hung up. I thought they wanted to ask you a question, but I guess they didn't. We're having a little problem with your phone, Chef, and I appreciate you joining us today and everybody who's out there. Oh, wait, the caller's calling back again. I think they wanted to ask you a question. Let's see here. Hold one second.
Sure.
Hello, caller. You're calling in the Green Ideas Radio. Did you want to ask Chef a question? I guess not.
Hello.
Hello. I guess they don't. Well, Chef, we're having some phone issues. Thank you for joining us. Everyone, check out his website. I've got it here on the show here. All you have to do is go to it's DominiqueOnMagazine.com. You can also find him on Facebook and check out his cookbook called Tropical Latitudes. And, Chef, we appreciate you joining us here on Green Ideas Radio this morning.
Sure. Thank you very much. And
right. Thank you,
Facebook
Chef.
Is Chef. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, boy. Sorry about that, folks. We're having some technical difficulties, and I was having a hard time hearing them. You guys were too, right?
Yeah. And, hey, before we go any further, I'm going to say goodbye. I got guests arriving, and I've been handed a half drunken glass of champagne that I guess I left. I left and I haven't even finished drinking. But all I can say is save me some pie because I know you're going to talk to a pie person probably next. So save me some pie, and you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Everybody out there listening, have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week. Or actually, no, I gave Grill hell about seeing people on the radio, so we'll look forward to you hearing us.
All
next
right,
week.
Goodbye. 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 All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right on our next. I love that song for him.
I do too.
Three Brothers Bakery, Bobby from Three Brothers Bakery in Houston, Texas, and they're going to be joining us, or Bobby's going to be joining us to talk about cakes and pies and cupcakes, some of my favorite topics. And we're going to take a little break here if I can get this thing working. And I like this song. It's an oldie, but goldie. You ain't seen nothing yet, and you guys ain't seen nothing yet. We still got another, 45 minutes to go. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
I wanted it.
And we're back. You ain't seen nothing yet. Welcome back to Gray and Ideas Radio. I hate that when it happens when someone's phone is messing up like that. And so sorry we couldn't talk to the chef anymore, but check out his website at DominiqueOnMagazine.com. I've got a link here, and find out about his new book, Tropical Latitudes, and all about him and his restaurants. And Laurie,
yes.
I know you like cakes, pies, and cupcakes, right?
Yes. Not really cakes. I'm not a big cake. I mean, pies and cupcakes. Not even cupcakes. I hate to say pies.
Don't tell the guest that's listening, because that's what he does for a living, that you don't like cakes. But anyway.
I'm going to like his, I'm sure. He's a famous bakery.
Sure.
I like it.
Bobby from Three Brothers Bakery. They're voted number one bakery in Houston, and everything is working right. We should have Bobby. Good. Let's see. It's still morning there, I think, in Texas. How are you today, Bobby?
Good morning, and it's still morning here.
Good
Houston,
morning.
Texas. You guys are voted number one bakery in Houston, and you've been around for quite a long time, I think, in tradition since like 1949 where you are. Actually, your family goes way back into the 1800s, and so how in the heck did all this happen, and how did you guys get in the bakery business?
Well, my family has always been in the bakery business. I'm the fifth generation in the bakery business. And went to college, got a degree, got out of school, and decided that I really wanted to be in the bakery. And I've been here for over 30 years. So it's a long tradition, and we have some great customers, and we make great product, and they keep coming back. So we're very happy about that.
So other than making lots of dough, hearty har har, what is some of the specialties of the bakery?
We're known for our rye bread and our corn rye and our egg bread. We make great gingerbread men. One of the things that we've got an accolade for was our pecan pie. It was listed in Country Living magazine as one of the best mail order country pies America has to offer.
Oh, really?
So
I'm
going
to have to send for one then.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
And we've been in business here in the United States for over 65 years, so I think we're doing something right. We don't know exactly what it is, but we're doing something right.
Now, is it pecan or pecan?
Well, here it's pecan. I think maybe where you are it's pecan, but down here it's pecan.
Now, I was reading on your website here. It's pretty cool. The slogan says, you're memory makers, but you're also bakers.
We're
you
memory
guys,
makers
guess,
that happen to be bakers.
Bakers, there you go. So how do you guys make memories?
Well, we make very special things for people. We do a lot of custom cakes, and we do a lot of all kinds of desserts and things for people. And we take pride in doing a really good job in making those, and we kind of feel like we are – bakers that happen to be memory makers, and that's what we kind of feel like we are.
I love it.
And people keep coming back here. We're on our fifth generation of fourth or fifth generation of customers. So, you know, we feel very, very fortunate.
And you mentioned the pecan pies, and you do that online. Can people go online to your website, which is, by the way, 3brothersbakery.com, is the number 3brothersbakery.com. Can they go on and buy all your products online?
Almost all of them they can buy. Cakes are kind of difficult to do online.
Right.
You know, the shipping portion is kind of difficult. But we have figured out how to do that with our 3-pie, 3-cake contraption that we made, which is the pumpacapple, which has kind of been the craze this last month.
What is it called? What is that called again?
It's called the pumpacapple.
Okay.
It's a apple pie baked in a apple spice cake, a pecan pie baked in a chocolate cake, a pumpkin pie baked in a pumpkin spice cake, and it's all put together with cream cheese icing in between, cream cheese icing on the outside, pecans around the bottom, and then caramel drizzle across the top.
Oh my gosh.
So. Now that is heavenly.
Unreal. And you can send that in the mail?
Yeah, we ship it. We do ship it.
That's cool.
Unfortunately, sold out for Thanksgiving, but we are taking orders for Christmas. And,
so how much is that, just for the listeners, how much does that baby cost if they want to order that and have it shipped to them?
Well, it's $175 for the cake, for the thumbcapple. And
okay.
It stands almost 12 inches tall and weighs between 21 and 24 pounds.
You're kidding.
We
Are
weighed
you
one
kidding?
Yesterday. Yeah, it's huge. This kind of all happened from our award-winning pecan pie. And one of the writers for the Houston Chronicle here in town wrote an article about our pecan pie and said, hey, I saw this thing up east. You think you could do something like this? And I said, well, I can try. We tried it, and it was so successful. They did an article about this thumbcapple, which we kind of invented. And it ran, and then the Food Network picked it up about 4 years ago. And they did a story on the Food Network. And from there, it just kind of blossomed. And recently, it ended up on Saturday Night Live about a month ago.
No kidding.
And from there, it went to CBS Morning News, and ABC picked it up. The local ABC station picked it up, did a story on it last week. And by the end of Thursday, it had hit over 600 TV stations around the country.
Wow.
CNN picked it up.
Unbelievable.
CNN picked it up, and CNN Headline News picked it up, and Good Morning America picked it up. It was on Good Morning America this past Thursday, and we sold out. We just can't do anymore.
Bobby, no wonder you sold out. Good God, you had all those people talking about it. And this thing, what you say, weighs like 22 to 24 pounds. There's no fat or calories in it, right?
None. I mean, it's
none.
One slice is, I think, about 20,000 calories. So about 2,000 calories, really. It's about 2,000 calories.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, is there still like three brothers who run the bakery, or is it still like it's all family done, or is there other people that are involved in the bakery now?
Well, I'm an SOB. I'm a son of a brother. So, all the three brothers are no longer involved in the business. I've now taken over. I think I took over in 1999, and I've been running it since then. So a number of years. And, I'm the fifth generation here, and
that's
we're trying
cool.
to keep it alive.
So when the employees call you an SOB, it's just a term of endearment, right?
Yeah.
Wow, it's really. I mean, I gotta check this out because I had heard a little bit about it, but I didn't realize how big of a cake it was. We gotta check that out, Laurie. But I may have to find
Absolutely.
Out what to do about come Christmas time. So, you got any more fancy inventions of any other kind of combinations of pies and cakes that you're working on for next year?
I think we're working on one for. For 4th of July, I think we're going to do blueberry, cherry, and white chocolate contraption. So we'll kind of see what happens. So we're trying to do red, white, and blue.
Yeah, definitely. Got to have you head back on 4th of July just to hear what the name is and how much it weighs.
Yeah, we're working on one also for Valentine's Day. So we'll see. We're working on stuff. We're constantly working on different things, trying to come up with something unique.
Now, where are you located? Do you have just one operation, or is there multiple in Houston?
We have three stores. We have 4036 South Braeswood, which is 77025 zip code. And then we have one in, I don't know if you're familiar with Houston, but it's west,
yep.
It's out west towards Memorial City Mall, behind Memorial Hermann Hospital, which is a big mall area. And then we have one off of Washington and Shepherd, which is close to downtown Houston. So we've been growing, and you know, everything has been very, very good, and we're very happy with everything that's happened with us, and thankful.
Well, I know where I'm going. I'm supposed to be going to Houston, and I think in January. I know exactly where I'm headed when I get off the plane. I'm going to
Julian travels. He'll be over there, and he'll be taking pictures and making me jealous.
we'll give you the tour. So the 2 minute tour.
There you go. Bob, we appreciate you joining us today, and everyone who's listening, you can go to their website. It's posted here on our radio site. It's www.3brothersbakery.com. Just click on that link. It'll take you right to their site, and check out all the goodies that they have on there, along with that giant 24-pound. What do you call it again? How do you say it again?
It's called the Pump Capsule. So it's PUMPACAPPLE.
Well, check that out. He's sold out for Thanksgiving, but put your orders in for Christmas. And, Bobby,
Valentine's
thank you very much
Day.
For coming in. And, of course, the Valentine's Day and the 4th of July contraptions. We can't wait to see those babies. So thank you for coming on the show, and keep us posted.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been very, very wonderful and nice. Thank you.
All right. Aww. Thank you. Take care. All right, everyone, check out his website. You can find out more. He said I think weighed 24 pounds. I still can't get over it. I mean, talking about
belly ball. I can't either. What a nice guy. What a humble guy. And he's changed my mind. He's turned me into curious about cake now because, see, I find the cake sometimes on the drier side themselves. That's why I don't eat cakes and cupcakes. I love but he said the breads and the pies, and I love cookies. So now we're going to order that.
Oh, I know.
I see you posting hungry on Facebook when you go there, and rubbing it in, but you got to go there soon.
I'll just smash one of the things in my face and take a picture and put it on Facebook. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be having our next guest, which is Susie the Wedding Fiddler, I think. And guess what she does, Laurie?
Let me guess. But she has my sister's name, too, Susie.
She plays the fiddle, too. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to play one of her songs, and then hopefully she'll be calling in. The song we're going to be playing is called The Dill Pickle Rag, and everyone hang tight. We'll be back with Susie the Wedding Fiddler in just a minute and a half. Putting clogs on when I hear her music. You ever clogs, Laurie?
Do I have clogs? Or do I think of clogs?
You ever found clogging?
No, I haven't.
It's a
have
lot
you?
Of fun. Yes,
oh.
I did one time. I'll never do it again.
okay.
You know, those cowboy boots I have, I could probably clog in those. I don't know. Well, she's not here yet, so I'm trying to buy for time, but we're
going to
be fiddling around with Susie here in just a few.
We'll be fiddling around. I like to fiddle. I do like to fiddle.
Okay, well, hello, Susie. Call in. While we're waiting, I want to make a couple of announcements. Last week, so we didn't have many live shows, but tomorrow night, Albert, the Untamed Chef, will be back on tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Tuesday, we will have our good buddy, the one and only John Dilley, and Def Conversations, all about hot sauce, the hot sauce world. And I had to take a break, so we had to play replays last week. And then I've got an announcement. I guess I can talk about it right now. If you know the name Linky, I'll say right now, if you know the name Linky, Linky is going to be joining us, I think, either next week or the week after next, and doing segments on Brilliant Ideas Radio, and she'll also be branching off to doing her own show later on. So we've been talking to Linky for a while, and she's been busy in the barbecue world with Big Green Egg, and now that it's winter time, I think she's going to have some time to do the show. So Linky will be joining us.
Yay.
I guess next week, the week after that, and you guys will love Linky. And I always mess up her last name. It's probably how you say it. Maria. Anyway, she'll tell us the right pronunciation when she comes on. But,
oh, yes, we'll correct you.
Check out all of our shows on greenideasradio.com. You can hear all the replays there. I had someone ask me the other day, said, is this called a podcast? And yes, it is called a podcast, and you can download all the shows. I think there's over 300 or close to 300 shows there.
Wow.
From back in the day when we started this crazy thing. And you can download them all, and it does work on your phone. And you can play them anytime, so you don't have to listen to the live show. I had someone today still say, oh, I can't hear this show. I have something to do this morning. Guess what, folks? You can hear the replay. You don't have to always show up for the live show. The replays are there. How many times have I said that, Laurie?
Oh, I don't know. A bazillion.
Anyway, you can check out all of our shows, past and present, at greenideasradio.com. Now, let's go back to fiddling around. We played Susie's song a couple minutes ago, and I think, let me see, is this her number? Yes, I believe it's her calling in. Her name is Susie Short. Good morning, Susie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. How are you all?
We are doing fantastic and ready to fiddle around with you. How's everything out your way?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Well, okay, I got to ask the first question. How long you been a fiddle player, and how long you been doing weddings?
Okay. I've been playing fiddle for 32 years. I've been in the wedding industry for 20 years.
All right, let me answer that question. So how'd you get into this?
Well, I didn't have a choice back when I was a little toddler, but when I became an adult, I always had a fascination for fiddles. When you have a timeout, I always hide in the closet, and fiddle. So I was classically trained, and I just wanted to fiddle. And then when I got to be an adult, one of my passions was fiddling and weddings, so I've combined the two.
And that's how you came up with the name. Voila, Susie the Wedding Fiddler.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? It doesn't even sound as good. If you said Susie the Wedding Violinist, it just doesn't have a ring to it. I like the Wedding Fiddler.
No,
It doesn't. Well, now you got to tell me, what is the difference between a violin and a fiddle?
It's the way you play it.
It's got to have clogs on, right?
I'm sorry?
You gotta have clogs or boots on when you play.
You have to have clogs on, right. There's really not a difference. I mean, there is a 5-string fiddle, but basically it's just the way you play the fiddle. There's a lot of, when you play fiddle, you play a lot more chords than the traditional violin. It's just the way you play it.
Okay, so just the way you play it. And we played the Dill Pickle Rag. I don't know if you knew that.
I love it.
How the heck did they come up with the name Dill Pickle Rag, do you know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well,
it doesn't sound like a dill pickle, but...
What's a food show? And I thought it was
a show.
So you do weddings, so I guess after they say I do, then you're up there fiddling around and letting everybody dance. And you not only are you just for weddings, though, I was reading on your bio today that you actually... Somehow you're involved with NASCAR. How does that all work?
Well, I've been a NASCAR fan since the 90s, and that's one of my passions. So being in Alabama, I'm close to Talladega, and I have the opportunity to do a commercial for Amp energy drinks. And
okay.
So I got involved with them. And also, I was in a 15-minute film called Talladega. It's about, I'm trying to think who was in it. It was David Arquette was in it. It was aired, the Amp 250. This is like 3-4 years ago. So that's how I kind of got my foot in the door with that.
Interesting.
With NASCAR.
So, I just pictured you like doing like the Star Spangled Banner on your fiddle at a NASCAR event.
I have done it for dirt track races.
You?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Cool.
Oh, that's neat.
That is neat. Because I've never, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard that done that way. That's pretty. You got a recording of that you can send me?
I can send you a recording, yes. It's kind of, weather is very, very bad on string instruments, so it's really hard to do it live, you know, especially like, you know, during like NASCAR races or dirt tracks. But I do it, but it's, you know, it's not a normal day thing. You have fiddlers out there. It's real hard on your instruments being out of the weather.
All right, I'm going to play another one
of
your songs.
But it can be done.
It can be done. I don't have the Star Spangled Banner, but I do have Crippled Creek, and I like this song. And it's only 42 seconds long, so we won't be gone very long. But this is this is Susie. I don't know why. Susie the Wedding Fiddler, and this is her song, Crippled Creek. We'll be right back. That was the Fiddler, the Cripple Creek, and Susie the Wedding Fiddler, and we have her joining us with us. I'm trying to get her phone to work. It's not working. Give me a second. But we have her joining us. There you are. Are you there with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I want to plan a wedding. I really do.
Yeah.
And I want to have I want a Susie the Wedding Fiddler. So what do I got to do to line up to get you? Where do I find you?
You find me on www.susiethewedding.com, or I'm also listed under The Knot or Wedding Wire, Gig Masters. But you can even Google me. Google Susie the Wedding Fiddler, and I'll pop right up.
Now, you do other gigs too, don't you, other than weddings?
Yes, I do. I do Christmas parties. I teach. I also do studio work for a lot of country artists or gospel artists or people who are just trying to get into the music business and they don't have a lot of money to invest in professional musicians. So they hire me just to do their string background.
Okay. Pretty cool. So I have to ask, since you're out fiddling around and you're out at wedding with all kinds of food, what is Susie's favorite food?
Susie's favorite food, wedding cake. That's my favorite.
Good answer.
The wedding cake. That's the best part of the weddings is the wedding cake. But my favorite food, a lot of brides, you know, they have different menu palettes. And what I like, I went to a wedding recently, they had barbecue. But they had like chicken and ribs and different, they had a spread of chicken and ribs. They had different rubs, like they had a peach rub and an apple rub, and that was, you know, so you can make your little own sliders, which was cool.
Cool. I'm getting ideas.
And then I went to a wedding that had like a biscuit bar, so you could put your, you know, favorite jam on, you know, like peach and blackberry, you know, on a biscuit, which is really fun.
I love that idea.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? When someone has a barbecue rub. bar and they have biscuit bar, you know you got to have Susie the wedding fiddler there.
Right, exactly. That's my favorite. Yes. That's funny.
All right, let's. I'm going to play another one of your songs, but do you have a CD or album people can get some of your music?
Yes, I'm actually in the works getting an album out. It's called The Love of My Life, and it will be out available on my website the later part of 2015. And I'm also working on a Christmas album that should be out in 2016. That's called, Evergreen and Mistletoe. And I'll have blogs about it on Facebook and on my website soon.
See, I think you should change the name to Let's Fiddle Around at Christmas.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
It's a brilliant idea.
Fiddling around. What's that song, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree? That's a Fiddler Around the Christmas Tree or something like that.
Yeah,
that's
there
funny.
You go. That's even better. All right, I'm gonna play another one of your songs, and then we'll come back to say goodbye to you here. But this song you sent to me here is called Roxanna Walks. Everyone hang tight. We'll be back just a couple minutes with Susie.
Okay.
Susie the Wedding Fiddler, Roxanna Waltz. Susie, it was a pleasure having you on the show. I forgot to ask you, where are you located?
I'm located outside Birmingham, Alabama.
Now, you'll go anywhere and everywhere for a wedding fiddling deal, though, right?
Yes, I do. The farthest I've been away is Hawaii. I do a lot of stuff in Nashville, New Orleans, California. I'm going to be in Kentucky next week. So
wow.
I do book 1 to 3 years in advance. So just, you know, if you need my services, www.susietheweddingfiddler.com.
Half Fiddle will travel. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes.
And keep us posted when you got your new albums when they come out in 2015 and 2016. You're always welcome back on the show.
Well, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you. Take care. Everyone, check out our website. There's a link here on the show. All you do is click it, and it takes you right there to Susie the Wedding Fiddler. And, Laurie, we've got about 10 minutes. And what are we supposed to do? We're doing something this afternoon. What are we doing?
I was going to mention that. You always say anything else at the end. I was going to say, I'm looking forward. We're going to a fundraiser, and we're going to be eating oysters.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
No,
I think I forget. Doesn't it say prime rib too? I think there's prime rib. I know that you're not crazy about that, but oh, I love a good prime rib.
I can't wait. So we're going to be after talking about all this food today with the chef and the baker and candlestick maker and fiddle maker. It's been. I'm starving right now. That's what I hate about this show. It's like we start off and we did have chicken thighs for breakfast, but I'm always starving.
We
after
did.
So the people at the event better watch out because I'm going to have a big plate when I get there. thank you for joining us, everyone out there, each and every Saturday morning on the Grillion Ideas Radio Show / Network. And don't forget about the show tomorrow night. Don't forget about Tuesday night. I have been emailing or texting or back and forth to Linky while the show's been going on, and she's getting geared up, and we're going to be chatting next week about when she'll be joining the show, and we've got a few more surprises in line. And, hey, Laurie, so this is where I always ask you, do you want to plug your book?
Yeah, I was just thinking, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Hot off the press, almost ready, all six of my books. In just a few weeks, I'll have my read-along CDs to go with them. And I have one, Happiest Holidays, is going to be on iTunes. And I'm going to have a jingle that I'm going to actually be singing myself. So,
I thought it was going to be a surprise. Now you blew the surprise.
What, the jingle? Nah, it's no surprise. Well, it isn't anymore.
Yeah, everybody, check out the website. It's myhappybooks.com. It's not up and running fully yet. You can go and see some of her books, and it's still under construction and got a few odds and ends to finish up to get that rolling. But
I must say, thanks to you.
And her books are fantastic, and we got the first shipment in. And hey, Laurie, I think you need to be like a sponsor for the Grillion Ideas Radio Show. If you do, then I'll plug you on the I'll put you on the website, and we'll put your website there so people can click and go. But you got to be my sponsor first.
Okay, I will. No, they're keepsake quality. They really are beautiful books, I have to say.
Yes,
hardcover, 80-pound high gloss paper, and they rhyme. They have large type, you know, so people can read them at night if they're tired. They can see the words, and the drawings are cute.
Fantastic job, and you'll be able to buy those actually before Christmas if everything goes as planned. Maybe as early as next week, right?
I think so. I'm hoping.
Of course, you found out yesterday about all the red tape you got to go through and fill out all the stupid business licenses and all that. So, but anyway, that's a whole other story.
All right.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us, and come back again next Saturday. Next Saturday, we have Crystal Yates joining us, which is really cool. Crystal is really moving in the country music scene, and we'll talk about that next week. But she's, I think, got some new music on her new album that she just cut that we'll be playing. And Crystal Yates is one of my favorites. She'll be joining us. And after that, I don't know who's joining us because I don't make good notes, but I'm sure there'll be a food person and a music person and
Brian,
czar?
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, and the czar.
Oh, I
everyone
might not,
have,
next week. No,
oh,
I
everyone
might
have
not
my,
be here next
what?
Week.
What?
I might not be here, right? I might be traveling.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Remember I said I might head to Jersey?
Oh, yeah, you might. That's right. Oh, yeah, everybody, I forgot. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey and your ham or whatever you cook. Yes, because next time we come back, Thanksgiving will be done. All right, that's enough. I wasted enough time, just enough time to play a song, and I'm going to play, let's see, Redneck Incorporated. Get you some of that. Guys, go out and get you some of this and that. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Today in his cheap sunglasses are tight. Ain't got a dollar in my pocket. I must have robbed it last night. But there's a warm breeze blowing. I can't remember her name. And these mismatched flip flops don't
The countryside is nice and pretty
out here on the farm.
We work together as a family.
Out here on the farm, on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you.
Hey!
It means the world and we'll never ever cease to be. We need to aid. We all need farmers to provide us with our food, 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 food.
Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
A for my cattle.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
A from the field.
Work, 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 work.
A
is what we feed our cattle. So they grow big and strong, and then become the food that keeps us living nice and long.
Our crops like corn and wheat help make diets complete. Without the farmers working, we would all be starving.
You know what I'm saying? Working farmer style.
Hey, thank a farmer.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for your food.
Work, 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 work.
Hey,
working farmer style.